Okay, Mark chapter 4. Verse 21. And I want to go through verse 29. Mark 4, starting at verse 21. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. When the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you spoke in parables, but then you explained to your disciples what it is it meant. And Lord, we would pray for that enlightenment today. Especially, Lord, as we look to you, because we know, Lord, that unless you reveal truth to us, none of us would know it. It is a product of your grace to us. And Lord, the ignorance and foolishness of the sinner is in being in darkness to the truth, and not hearing the voice of God, and not knowing the basics of the way the world is and the way the kingdom of God operates. And Lord, here we are given an insight into that. I pray we would hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. I know that you know people who have no religious affiliation whatsoever. They may be religious in a sense. They may be members of a Baptist church. They may be conversant with a lot of things in the Bible. But they feel that they have no real religious affiliation. They're not all in on religion. They don't go to church. They don't discuss religion. They don't read the Bible. They don't argue theology. They don't proselytize. They don't judge sin. They are free from the bonds of an organized religion. They're free from hypocrisy. They're just who they are. They say, "We're not one of those hypocrites that you find in churches that are one way on Sunday and some other way the rest of the week." They recognize how zealots are evil, that they stir up trouble, that a lot of the trouble in the world right now is because of religion, and in the past as well. And it's one of the two subjects that causes the most arguments, politics and religion. They're not involved in the religious part. They don't want anything to do with it. And in that state, they feel superior to those of us who have religion. You see, they don't stress out about unimportant things, and that's a good thing in their mind. They don't have a sense of getting all wound up about nothing, which religion in their minds is nothing. It doesn't matter. It's going to all work out in the end. Everybody's got a different opinion. They're all just as valid as the other ones, and these non-religious people are staying clear of all that, and they feel superior because of it. Why can't you religious people see that it's nothing but trouble to come down on the side of an organized religion? So these people without religion are kinder people. They're more accepting of others. They're less dogmatic, more honest and sincere. They don't need the crutch of religion to live like you do. They don't need something to prop them up to live their lives. They can live their lives just fine. They can deal with their lives themselves. They live in the real world. They don't need a fantasy world like you religious people have. This is the way they view themselves. Are they better off? Am I superior if I have no religion? We could ask hypothetically. If a person is free from all that, is he in a better spot than those who are religious? As youth look at elderly people and they go, oh, these elderly people, they can't run around and jump and do the things that I'm able to do. And they feel sorry. Oh, these elderly folks. And some of us, we'd have a tough time deciding whether we want to be young again. Because, you know, the young don't have a lot to brag about either in the mental area. And with age comes experience and knowledge. And yes, at times, old age creeps up on us. We can't do what we used to. But is a young person better off? Well, maybe in some ways, but not in every way. But these non-religious folks believe in every way. In every way. Now, we recognize that religion itself is odious to God. We're not religious people in that sense. What about the religion of Islam? That's not a good thing. What about all the false religions in the world? What about all the millions of gods in Egypt or in India? We realize that's wrong. We know they're hypocrites in the church and in the world. They're hypocrites in everything. Although sometimes hypocrites are just people who are imperfect, and the non-religious person says, well, look, there's a hypocrite. He's not perfect. He's still working on his life. He's just growing, maybe. We all know that religion can spur some really big arguments. Sometimes we should just not argue about little things. The Bible tells us that. Genealogies and such. Meaningless things. But if a person ignores the gospel call, if a person lives without an affiliation to God or religion or truth, if they just wait till the end for it all to work out, is that person better off? In spite of what they think. And you know, most feel free. Most feel mature. Most feel like they're more capable than you religious folk. I think this parable speaks to that. Now, when you look at this parable, the first one, there's two here. When you look at this first parable of the lamp, let me read it again. Verse 21. Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? You know, a lamp put under a bed is going to be a pretty warm thing, because it's probably going to catch your bed on fire. To put it under a basket, the point here being, do you have a lamp to cover over? This is the parable. And he applies it in verse 22. There is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. What does this refer to? Now, does it refer? Look at Matthew 5, verse 14. At first glance, you may think that this parable of the lamp is teaching the same thing as in the Sermon on the Mount, the similitudes, and the second one there, verse 14 of Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now that is, in one sense, the same as what we see in this parable. That a lamp is employed for the purpose of shedding light. In Matthew 5, the light that is shed there is you, disciples. And so is that the sense in Mark 4? Is the reference to the lamp refer to the disciples or something else? Note the wider context here. Now, we do want to look at the context whenever we can. And context is not always flowing through each of the passages, but it seems in this case that it is, because we see in the first part of Mark 4 the parable of the sower and the soils. Following this parable of the lamp, we have in verses 26 through 29 the parable of the seed growing. So that seed being planted runs through here, and even into the next thing, the seed is mentioned, although maybe a little bit differently, the mustard seed. But we see that the gospel is the seed. And the gospel is preached, and it lands on various types of ground. And there's emphasis given in verse 9. Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And in verse 23 of our passage, the same. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So this is a section about hearing. The parable of the sower and the soils, verses 1 through 20, gives us four types of hearing or not hearing. The seed is sown, and the Bible says, Jesus said, that is the gospel proclaimed. The seed, the sower, verse 14, sows the word. So the word is proclaimed, and people hear it. Depending on the ground that they have, the heart that they have, some hear it unto a crop, a fruit, a fruitful crop. It produces. It yields a crop of different amounts. The others who hear do not produce a crop. One hears it all on the wayside. The other two hear, but it's only a temporary or surface thing. So these parables are about hearing. The gospel is revealed to our ears. Now, Jesus performed miracles to authenticate his power to preach the gospel, that he was from God. The gospel is proclaimed and we hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So we hear the gospel. And they all heard the gospel, or the gospel was proclaimed in their hearing. But not all had ears to hear. Some just let the devil pick it up and take it away. They had no use for it at all. Others heard for a little while and then let it pass on. These are parables about hearing. If an alarm goes off, the purpose of the alarm is for us to hear it and to respond to it. There are, in Orangeburg, at all times of the day, sirens going off. I don't know how it is down in the country. But we get a lot of sirens. If a police car runs by our house with a siren, we take notice of that. Our neighbor, two houses down, her alarm goes off all the time. I pay little attention to it as anything, a bird singing outside. If it goes off for like 10 or 15 minutes, I'll walk out in the yard, see if there's anything going on. The gospel is an alarm. It is to be heard. And so, hearing that, there's to be a response. So I believe this parable of the lamp is a parable that teaches us about the ministry of Christ revealing the truth. Not about our light, but about his light. I believe that's what this refers to. Not to deny the other teaching in a different place. But follow as I go through this. Now, a parable, remember, is used in various ways. A parable can sometimes be used as an illustration to elucidate the truth, to make it clearer. So if we're teaching somebody, our kids, we use the simplest illustration to try to make them to understand. But at times, Jesus used parables to remain, to make the truth a bit of a mystery because of the fact that the people had not heard. And again, hearing was the issue. Because the parable of the sower and the soils was given so that the people who had been hearing would no longer be able to understand because they had rejected the truth so far. If you get a bill in the mail and you pay your bill, and the people that send the bill out, they call and say, "We never got your payment." So they send another bill. You send it in. They call and say they never got your payment. How many times would that have to happen before you stop doing that way? If you got in your car and drove it to Columbia and it broke down, so you got it picked up and dragged back here, started back up, went to Columbia, broke down. How many times did you do that before you stopped driving that car to Columbia? You see, we have in our heads, sinners have in their heads, that God is just going to constantly feed us the light. Sinners are going to feed us. We're going to get the light. We're going to get the light because God needs us. God wants us. God's going to keep pouring it on to us until we respond. That's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus, in saying the parable of the sower and the soils, explained that verse 11 of this chapter, Mark 4, "To you it has been given to show the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables." Now, why are they outside? Because they have not heard what has been given to them. And God, much more logical than we are, and the sovereign Lord of the universe, says, "I'm not going to keep giving light that's not going to be received." And so he says there, it's in the same as Isaiah's prophecy, "Seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn, their sins be forgiven them." That was what they were offered, but they did not turn, and their sins were not forgiven them, and so the light did not come full force like it did earlier, because they had not received the truth. Now, I bet every one of us, as we were growing up, our mom would make supper, and she would make dessert. And what was our eyes on when we sat down? Now, I'm a big eater and still am. But you know, it was the dessert. And what did she say? "You can't have any dessert until you eat what's on your plate." If you had a dog, you could take care of that. But if you didn't want to eat what's on your plate, but your eyes were all on that dessert, you had an obligation set before you. Until you eat what's on your plate, forget about the apple pie. But when you clear your plate, then you can have ice cream, whatever. So the Lord gives a principle here, and he says it in verse 24, starting with the same measure. See that there? "With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given." You see that? When your measure is that you receive what is heard, then it is measured back to you with more. But, verse 25, "Whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have," in other words, you do not receive you do not hear what is taught, "even what he has will be taken away from him." And you can put your finger right there and trace it right up above to where the devil takes the word away from the hearts of those whose hearts are like the ground by the wayside. Verse 15. Those are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, see, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. It's gone. And so it's taken away by the devil. But the devil is not doing something that's completely outside of God's sovereignty, because the Lord says himself that he's not going to feed more light to those who are wasting what he's given them. And he even says, "When you what you hear will be taken away," and it's taken away. It fades away from their memory. The devil takes it away, and Jesus does not give more light where it is thrown away. He does not cast his pearls before swine. Some of you have raised swine, haven't you? You've been dealing with them in some way. Do you put your valuables out there with them? Does your wife, if you ever dealt with swine, does your wife say, "Would you take these pearls, honey, and go give them to Arnold? Just throw them out there in the mire." Nobody does that, because they're valuable. And the gospel is valuable. And God sees it as valuable. And when a person sees it as nothing, they just, I'll feed my cat a piece of popcorn. And if the cat eats the popcorn, okay, I'll give him another piece. But if they don't eat that, I'm not going to throw popcorn there until it's lined up all the way across the floor, being ignored. The Lord is giving light. It's a treasure. And so we see here in this parable that a lamp is brought in. And what is the purpose of a lamp? To give light. The purpose of a window is to shed light. What if you put windows in your house and then painted them all over black? Blot out the light. You don't bring light-giving items in to be covered up under the bed, under a basket. But the purpose is to show light, to reveal what's in the room. And the lamp is illustrative here of the preaching of our Lord. And if you trace this from the start up here with the sowing of the seed, the planting of the gospel, Jesus' ministry, and then he says, you know, about the fruit that is born by those who hear, and that he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And Luke makes it even clearer, I think, that this is all connected. And so Jesus says, in applying the lamp, he says this in verse 22, "There is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light." Nothing is hidden that will not be revealed. Nothing is kept secret except to come to light. The gospel is the light of truth that shines on our sin and exposes it. Now, when we were in school, you could fake knowing things until the test would come. And then the test would come and you go, "Oh my goodness. What is this? Did we talk about this in class?" The test reveals your knowledge. The gospel reveals sin and the answer to it. And so the gospel is the early warning and repair system of the Lord that brings sin to light while it can be fixed. Before the time when it cannot be. In the end. After the test, oh yeah, you can say, oh, I should have known that. I should have known that. Oh, why didn't I know that? Well, it's too late. Once the test is given, and this is what is happening here. When the gospel is proclaimed, the seed is the word. When the gospel is proclaimed, it enlightens us. We get an understanding of our nature. The gospel calls out us out on our sin. It welcomes us to repent and come to the Savior. And some hear that and the devil comes and takes it right away and it makes absolutely no impact on them at all. And others play with it a little bit and then discard it. But then those who hear. This verse 20 says, those who hear the word accept it and bear fruit. Hear, accept, bear fruit. And you've got it. And so the gospel is warning us now about something that could be fixed now before the end comes when it cannot be fixed. So this parable comes with an exhortation, verse 24. Now this is how it's applied. And Luke says, therefore, take heed what you hear. Why? Because it matters. Now these people say it doesn't matter what religion you have. It doesn't matter that you believe. It doesn't matter that you have a religion. It doesn't matter that you have a theology. It doesn't matter that you go to church. It doesn't matter if you read the Bible. We're better off in the dark, they're saying. We're better off in not knowing our problem. We want it to rest until the judgment day and then hope it all works out, you see. This is what Jesus said cannot ever pass, because nothing is hidden that will not be revealed, and nothing is kept secret except to come to light. And if it's going to come to light and be revealed, and all you've got is your sin, earth and heaven flee away from the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And if you're not ready, you see, all the superiority of those who claim to be better off without religion are obliterated. In the previous parable, only the ones who bore fruit believed, accepted the gospel, listened well. The rest just listened and they heard. And the exhortation in verse 24, take heed what you hear. There's so many things being blasted from the speakers of our world today to get us to think and believe what is wrong. Our world in our day has done a complete 180 in regard to several very basic moral things. And people believe things today in the opposite of the Bible and are proud to do so because they consider the other side to be just a bunch of bigoted, hateful people. And all of that's been because they don't understand the gospel and they just think that it's all going to work out. But nothing is hidden that will not be revealed, and nothing is kept secret except to come to light. So you better be careful what you hear. Young people today better take heed what they hear, because they are especially the targets of so much paganism today. Now let me get to the next parable, because I think it's again connected. Verse 26. And this is just in Mark. This parable. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now I'll just tell you right now, this is not explained by Jesus, this parable. You know, some of the other parables he goes in and explains what the connections are. He doesn't do that here. So when you go into the commentaries, which I did, you are going to get a wide range of things. Some say this has to do with the farmer. Some say it has to do with the seed. Some things has to do with our Christian witness. Some say it has to do with, you know, don't worry, be happy, everything's going to work out. There's just all different ways, and it's not all without merit. But what does it mean? The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Well, we know about the scattering seed on the ground. We understand that. Here we are with the seed again, like we saw before. And remember that these are parables of the kingdom. It says right there in verse 26, the kingdom of God is as, and the connection is made there. And these are parables of the kingdom. This is how God rules in the world right now. It's not as we would think. God rules this way. He gathers his crop like this. And it's not just the crop that yields, or the seed that yields a crop, that God has dominion over. All of it is under his dominion. Those who refuse are under the dominion of God. Those who believe for a little while, falsely, temporarily, those are under his dominion. And those who receive the word are under his dominion. He's telling us how it is in the world as the gospel is proclaimed. Now, in this parable, the seed mysteriously grows. We don't know how. While he lives his life and doesn't even pay any attention to it, he's disconnected from it. If you are a farmer, and I, of all the people in here, am not, I am the most non-farmer of any of you. But I bet every one of you who farm, who have farmed, you don't know how that seed does what it does when it gets in the ground. And I bet you don't dig it up every day to look at it and see how it's doing. You put it in the ground, you go about your business. And there's no visible indicators that the seed is going to come to bear a crop until it starts to do so. And you've got it progressing from the blade, the head, then the full grain in the head. By a process that is from God. It goes from the beginning to the end, and you're not even aware of it. Like a pilot on a plane. You give the pilot the job of flying the plane. He flies the plane, gets you where you're going. That's, you know, all the other mechanical details that are going on. You don't know about it. Well, even more with the crop. And once the grain ripens, we're told in verse 29, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And I believe this is not about men sowing. This is about God sowing. And God sows his seed, and it's, you know, it's going to carry to the end. Because as you go through here, this is what has been talked about. That all things will come to light. All things will be revealed. The harvest is coming. It all terminates at the end. And so the harvest here is the end of the age, and God carries the seed to the end, and men don't affect it one way or another. It's going to get to the end. It carries itself to the end. And so at the end, there's redemption. You know, the wheat and the tares. There's redemption and there's judgment. And this enforces the command to hear properly. So the seed is sown. People look around and they say, we're better off. I don't see anything happening. Do you see God's judgment? I don't see God's judgment. I didn't go to church. I don't have religion. I got things. I'm still making money. I got a job. I see all these churches arguing. I see all these hypocrites. I'm better off. You know, we used to hear people at school, if they made bad grades, you'd start hearing them talk. You know, I've heard some research done that people who have a C average are more successful in life than people who make A's. Now, what do you think he makes for his grades? He's the C guy. Let me ask you this question. And it's believed in Proverbs, the fool believes he's wise. But are you better off stupid? Would you like to be stupid? Would you like to be foolish? Are you better off godless? That's what the world says. Who needs education? Who needs to know all these things? I just need to know how to add up a little bit here and there. Who is to be the most pitied? The Christian? You see what these parables speak of? Is that Jesus is illuminating the world with the gospel. That seed planted must be carefully heard, because although it's imperceptible, once it is sown, it will yield a final crop, and it will be the judgment, or it will be redemption. So take heed how you hear. Jesus prayed, "Your kingdom come." It will. The seed sown will come to the end. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Jesus said it. It's coming to the end by his hand. So we're to hear well and be ready for the judgment and the harvest and redemption. Let's pray. Lord, it is considered today a kindness by all municipalities to have early warning systems for tornadoes and fires and all sorts of alarms. And yet, Lord, in our world, the alarm of the gospel is often ignored, is not even desired to be heard. And yet, Lord, what will save us from our sin? What will make us able to face the judgment when every secret is revealed and all things are made manifest in our lives? How will we face the holiness of our God unless we now hear the gospel? We are better off, Lord, by your grace being saved. We're better off having been redeemed. And I pray, Lord, that we would have fruit among those who are so foolish to think that they're better off without you or without truth. But may we all hear in the proper way the alarm of the gospel and repeat that alarm to this dying world. In Jesus' name.